Now, in this familiar text, and I know everybody's familiar with it, we're given a glimpse of life after death. We're introduced to two men that are going to live throughout eternity in two entirely different locations. One of them is going to go to heaven, and we understand Lazarus' bosom, what that meant in the Old Testament economy, and the other is going to go to hell. And let me say this, there's no such thing as purgatory. That is not taught in the Bible. The Bible teaches when a man dies, his body returns to the dust from which it came. His spirit goes back to God. And that soul is going to live forever. It's going to live throughout all eternity in one or two places. And there are men, they can refuse to believe it. They can pretend it doesn't affect them. They can think that, hey, I'm not going to get involved. It's just going to be nothing. You reject Jesus, one day you will open your eyes in hell just as this rich man. And what I want to look at just for a few minutes tonight, I just want to focus on this rich man. Just for a few minutes. In the eyes of the world, this man had it all. He had everything that the world was striving to get. Number one, he had riches. The Bible says he had the finest clothes money could buy. He's clothed in purple. Purple was so expensive back then, it was used for royalty. And extremely wealthy. That's what he had. He fared sumptuously. That means he had an expensive or costly lifestyle. He had the best of the best, if I could just say it that way. He had the finest house. He ate the finest food. He had, in our day, here's what we'd say, he's got all the toys money could buy. He had everything. And it wasn't a one-day occurrence. It wasn't like just one day later. This was every day of his life. Just living the dream. We live in a society that has placed such a priority upon riches. Get everything you can, and if you can amass enough wealth, you'll have no problems in life. Money can take care of everything. It's a lie of the devil. Hey, this man's got problems that money's not going to be able to help him with. Let me say this. Prosperity has blinded the spiritual needs of people's lives. They've got money. Any problem they get, they can take care of it. You can't take care of spiritual problems with financial means. But he was rich. But then also, he had a reputation. Notice verse 20. It says, there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. Lazarus was laid at this man's gate. Somebody took the time and the effort to take Lazarus to this man's house and put him right there at the gate. Now, why would they do that? Obviously, it's because they want him to get some help. They were taking, we understand the custom of the day was they would take the needy, they would lay him at those places where when the rich came by, they would help them as they came by. But this man, why? Why did they choose this gate? I mean, here's a man, he wants to help Lazarus. Could take him anywhere, but he took him to this one particular gate. Here's why I think this man had a reputation. There was something about this wealthy man, this rich man, that they thought if we can get Lazarus outside his gate, he'll get some help. If this rich man had a reputation for being cruel, do you think they took him to his gate? I mean, if he had a reputation for he's just a stingy, selfish, miserly man, are they going to take him to his gate? No. If they're going to take the time and the energy to take him somewhere, they're going to take him somewhere that they think he can get some help. And the Bible says, Lazarus, verse 21, says, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. That word desiring is in present tense. Let me say this, that rich man didn't help him. Here's what I think about this rich man. You can take this for what it's worth. This rich man was one of these people that when the crowd was around, he can put on the show that he's caring, that he wants to help people. But when he's at home and it's his gate, his true colors show. But nevertheless, he had a reputation. The Bible says this, he was buried. When he died, you know what? There was a big deal made over it. Probably, here's his family, all these wealthy people, everybody in town, just mourning over his death. Coming, paying their respects to the family. Probably had the most elaborate tombstone money could buy. I think the man had a reputation. I think he's a religious man. from his vocabulary, and pastors talked about this before, look at verse 24. He cried and said, Father Abraham. The Jews thought that their relation to Abraham was their ticket to heaven. Here's what he's crying out, Father Abraham. And then he says this, mercy. Verse 27, he says, pray. 28, he says, testify. Verse 30, he talks about repenting. He's a religious man. He's a lost man. He's the man that comes to church probably because that's what's expected of him. Hey, I'm high society. It's expected that I go down to the temple, that I do this, that I do that. And he was just doing what was expected of him. But in the eyes of the world, here's a man. He's got riches. He's got a reputation. He's got religion. Here's what they'd say. Man, he's doing good. He's got everything. But see, here's... Let me put this in a way we'd understand it. Ben, I'm going to pick on you. Come here a minute. Ben's going to be our rich man. Come here and sit right here just a second. Sit in that chair. Ben's our rich man. Got the finest house in Maryville. Has a vacation home in Hawaii. Drives a Ferrari. Wears $5,000 suits. Got a reputation. I mean, he's just a good guy. Brother Randall, everybody likes him. I mean, if you need help, man, he'll help you. He'll do whatever. Goes to church. Probably tithes. Gives to missions. Here's what everybody'd say. That's the man I'd like to be. You ask 100 people. Here's a man that's rich, has a good reputation, good moral man. You ask 100 people, the majority of them, here's what they'd say. I'd trade places with him in a heartbeat. But see, that's just what man sees. Here's what you don't see. Here's our rich man, and he has the wrath of God abiding upon his life. The Bible tells us over in John 3:36, that word abideth is present tense. Right now, here's our rich man, and the wrath, the anger of God abideth on his life. Now, it's one thing for man to be angry with you, but for God to be angry with you. Psalm 7:11 tells God's angry at the wicked every day. Now the world will look at this rich man and here's what they'd say, man, I want what he's got. But the reality is, he's got the wrath of God abiding upon him. He's a child of the devil. Jesus told those unfaithful Pharisees in John 8:44, that you have your father the devil. They were doing the deeds of the devil. He's a liar. He didn't abide in truth. He said, you're acting just like your father. Here's the fact of it. You're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. If I told you that there was a particular... You go down here at the market, that man behind the register, he is a child of the devil. You know what you do? You go to another store. You won't go around him. And it stinks, but here's the fact of it. If you're lost, that's who you belong to. You're a child of Satan. You're a child of the devil. Here's this man, that rich man everybody want to be. He's got the wrath of God abiding upon his life. He's a child of the devil, and he's in bondage to sin. He can't. There's nothing he can do but sin. He is controlled by his sin nature. There's nobody. He has nothing to help him overcome that. Nothing to restrain it. He's just going to live a life of sin. He's in bondage to it. Ben, you can sit down. Down there, near your RAC. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Here's this rich man that everybody would want to be, but when you really see what he has and what he truly is, nobody would want to be him. Why would you want to be somebody that has the wrath of God abiding upon your life? Be a child of Satan and being in bondage to sin? Who would want that? Yet the world is full of people just like it. The wages of sin is death. Here's this rich man. He's going to die. He's going to receive the payment for the life he's led. He's going to die. And here's the thing about death. Number one, it's unavoidable. Every one of us has an appointment with death. At some point, every one of us, barring the Lord coming in the rapture, every one of us is going to face death one day. Death is unknown. It happens to the young. It happens to the old. You don't know. And here's the thing. Death is unnoticed. People give very little thought to death. I suspect nobody got up this morning and thought, I wonder if this is my last day upon this earth. We just live our life. Here's what I'm going to look at just for a few minutes tonight. I want to look at the eternal destination of this man, this rich man. He opened his eyes in hell. We see, number one, we see the cruelty of hell. You see the suffering. He is burning in a flame of fire. He is in so much pain. Here's what he's asked for. Just a drop of water upon his tongue. I worked outside today. Brother Fritz, I was hot. And if somebody said, hey, come over here, I'll put a drop of water on your tongue. You know what I done? I'd laugh at them. That ain't going to help me. I don't need... That is going to do nothing for me. This man is in such great torment, that's all he desires. Just a drop. Our minds cannot even fathom how bad hell's going to be. I mean, I'm sitting here and I'm reading this and I'm thinking, how can you show somebody how bad hell's going to be? We can't. It's just going to take God. There is no way that we can express how bad hell is going to be. And here's the sad part. Our society has made a joke out of hell. I mean, it's just a big party thing. I could give you a name, and I won't because I know this is somebody might hear it. They tell me a story about a certain individual. He had passed away. And all of his buddies, they were there at his funeral. They're lowering the casket into the hole. And all of his buddies were coming by and they're pouring their beer on his casket. And you know what they're talking about? They're calling that individual by name, and here's what they're saying. Man, he's going to party like he's never partied before. That's all they kept talking about. How he was going to live the life. Here's what happened. That man opened his eyes in hell. There's no partying. I don't care what society says, how they downplay it. Hell is a horrible place. It's a place of torment. And notice torments is plural. Here's why. Because you still have your senses. He's tormented in every possible way. You know he still has his sight because he sees the great gulf. He has his speech because he's talking. Do you know right now, if you could hear this man, you know what he's doing? He's crying out in agony. That's what he's doing right now. He's got his hearing because he heard Abraham speak. You know what he's listening to? He's crying out, but you know what he's hearing? He's hearing the screams of millions crying out, wanting mercy. Wanting something. And it's not mentioned. We've heard Brother Wells preach on this, and I think he's right. I think you still have your smell. I mean, you've got all the other senses. You're smelling that burning sulfur, burning your nose every time. I mean, it is... You got it all. And here's what is probably one of the hardest things you'll have to deal with in hell. It's your memory. I mean, here's this rich man. You know what he's remembering? He's talking about his brothers. He's worried about his brothers. Do you realize right now there are people in hell, and you know what they're thinking about? They're thinking about their children. All those fond memories and all those wonderful things we used to do with the family, but it's no more. And they'll never see them again. There are children in hell. And you know what they're thinking about? There's my mama. There's my dad that took care of him. You know what? They can't take care of you no more. They'll remember every opportunity that they had to be saved. I mean, I don't know what God's doing tonight, but I know this. If you're here lost, you may wake up in hell and you may remember this very message tonight as the opportunity God gave you. But you see the cruelty of hell. You see the confines of hell. This rich man can't get out. Abraham told him, hey, there's no way of escape. You can't pass over to us. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think this rich man is sorry? Do you think this rich man say, you know what? If I could have another chance, I'd do it differently. Absolutely. But here's the thing, there's no other chance. There's a lot of decisions in life that you can make and you can fix them. I can forget to pay my electric bill, they can shut it off, but I can go up there and I can fix the problem. You can buy a car and it can be a piece of junk. You can sell it, get something else. You can fix it. But when it comes to where you're going to spend eternity, there's no do-over. There is nobody in hell that is going to get a second chance. That one in hell, the only time they're going to leave hell is when they briefly get pulled out to stand before the great white throne judgment. And then they're going to be cast in the lake of fire. And you know what? The whole time they're going to be screaming, they're wanting another chance. But there's not one. But here's the saddest thing. Notice what he says. See if I can find this right here. Look at verse 28. It says, "For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment." That little phrase, "lest they also come to this place of torment." Here's this rich man, and by his own mouth, here's what he's saying. They don't have to come here. If somebody could go talk to them, they could make a choice if they want to come here or not. Here's what this rich man's admitting with this. I had a choice. Here's what he's saying. They go testify. Somebody would go talk to them, lest they come. They don't have to come here. By him saying they had a choice, here's what we know. He had a choice as well. He is in hell because he chose to be there. Let me tell you this. Everyone in hell is there because they chose to be there. And there's a lot of people, here's what they think. I just won't do anything about it. Let me tell you something. Doing nothing is a choice. When you choose, you know what? And I've heard somebody told me this one time, I'm just not going to get involved. I mean, I hear what they're saying. I just choose not to get involved. Here's what they're saying. I'm choosing to go to hell. There's no way. I mean, everybody, you are in hell. It is because you chose to go there. That's why hell's full. They chose it. We hear how God sent this person to hell and God sent this person. And I understand what they're saying, but here's where it is. They chose to go. They went there against God's will, if I could say it that way. And see, there was a time in my life when I had a lot in common with that rich man. And it wasn't riches and it wasn't reputation. Here's what I had in common with him. The wrath of God abideth on my life. I had the wrath of God upon my life. I was a child of Satan. I was a child of the devil. And I was in bonds to sin. That's what I had in common with him. But then I heard what Jesus did. The 7-year-old boy. I can still remember being in Sunday school class and asking my teacher. We had these little drawings. And I can still remember asking, why is that man on the cross? I can still remember that in my mind just as plain as can be. Because of Jesus, let me just tell you what happened. I went down to an altar one night. Here's what I knew. I knew I was lost. And I knew, just like that rich man, I had a choice. God had shown me that I was going to hell, and I didn't want to go. And because of Jesus, and because of what He did, I didn't have to. And because of Jesus, if you're lost here tonight, you don't have to. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what God. Here's what God desires for your life, that you'd receive Him as your personal Savior. And it's just, the plan of salvation is so simple. God, in the flesh, came, and the man Christ Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. God, the wages of sin is death. Death had no claim upon Him. But God required, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. God required bloodshed. And Jesus willingly laid down His life. You know why? So a 7-year-old boy could receive eternal life and escape hell. He was buried. 3 days later, he rose again. And right now, he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for anybody that will come to him. He did say, "Him that cometh to me, I will nowise cast out." I guess here's what I'm saying tonight. If you go to hell, it's because you chose to do it. God don't want you to go to hell. He's paid the price. It is a free gift. If you don't want to escape hell, here's what you got to do. Number one, you got to recognize you're a sinner and that you're in need of a Savior. But you know what? That alone won't get it done. You got to ask Him. You got to, by faith, accept that free gift. The price of redemption has been paid for every man. God paid for the sins of the world. But yet there are people that refuse to accept that gift. And they're in hell. You know why the wrath of God abides on them, present tense? Because they've rejected His Son. God sent His Son to die, to pay our sin debt, and man walks right all over Him. If I gave my son for somebody and he died so somebody could live and they made a mock and a ridicule of it, it's going to make me angry. That's why God's angry. Church, here's all I'm saying tonight and I'm finished. I understand it's Wednesday night. I don't know why God's put that on my heart tonight, but here's what I do know. If you're here and you're lost, God don't want you to go to hell. If you are here and you are lost tonight, God wants to save you. But you know what? It's your choice. God is not going to force Himself upon any man. If you go to hell, you will choose to do so. God has made the plan of salvation so simple. Just come to me. Ask me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's so simple. But people are in hell. And here's really why. Because they're too proud to ask Him to save them. Money couldn't fix the rich man's problems. Reputation couldn't fix it. A form of religion couldn't fix it. You got to have Jesus. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's what you do with Jesus is what's going to determine where you spend eternity. Let's stand tonight. Blake, you'll come to the piano. I ask you to just stand by your head. I don't know who God was speaking to tonight. But I know this. Death is certain, and you don't know when it's coming. And you better make sure that you're ready to meet God. If you're here and lost tonight, why don't you just come to Jesus and ask Him to save you?